Live from Binney's Beverage Depot in Lincoln Park.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Let the Miller Lite flow.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, we're having a great time at Binney's Beverage Depot. The football is being thrown around. It is a true tailgate. People are drinking Miller Lite in the parking lot. We still have the Connie's Frozen Pizza truck there. Remember, if you just get here now in the 5 o'clock hour and they are still open, tell them that Sylvie sent you or Pizza Man sent you, and they will give you a coupon for a free Connie's Frozen Pizza at Mariano's or Jewel-Osco. They're also sampling some slices right here so you could taste what we've been bragging about for a while. We still have another pair of tickets for Bears-Packers on Sunday at the Lakefront. It's in the Miller Lite Loft. We will last draw for that at 5:30.
There you go.
So you have to get your name in the hopper before 5:30. I think that's everything here, so come on out. We're still having a great time. Dan Wiederer joins us right now on the Corona Hotline, and there is a lot to discuss. Ooh. Dan, how you feeling?
I feel great. I feel better than I did walking out of the Tuscany Gardens last Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I feel better than I felt when I was sitting at the blackjack table with Abdallah and I was just getting nothing but fours thrown at me up there and couldn't get a face card. I feel great.
It's good, right. The bar was set very low from the blackjack table to our
to
team
dinner.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's go through. Let's start at the injury report, okay? What do you believe is going to happen? I'm going to ask you several things here in one question, and you sum it all up. What's
all right.
going on with A-Rob? Did Mac take a step back? Because I don't remember a week when he's did not practice all week like he did this week. And then what about Damian Williams? Hit all those.
All right. I'll start with Mac because I've stopped worrying about Khalil Mack because he shows up on Sundays. And I thought a week ago, given how beat up he was with the ribs and the foot injury that he was dealing with, that he might be less than 100% going in to play his former team in the Raiders. And then he played a high-level game last Sunday at Allegiant Stadium. And that, for me, put to rest a lot of the questions about how much practice time Khalil needs, how much health he needs to actually be at full strength. Encouraging that Allen Robinson was back practicing today. Discouraging that he had to miss 2 days with a ankle injury, right? I mean, that's a rough thing for a receiver who's going to need speed and need to get in and out of breaks. That's worth keeping an eye on. He'll certainly play Sunday. It's just a matter of how effective he can be. Damian Williams, Matt Nagy this afternoon certainly gave the indication that he is not going to play on Sunday. No one will tell you with these guys on the COVID-19 list whether they're vaccinated or not. The inference there is maybe he is not vaccinated, and by rule, he is automatically forced to miss this next stretch. And so that will be interesting to monitor going forward.
What about Akeem Hicks, Dan?
A little more worried about him because, I was actually surprised to see him get the questionable tag. Last week, obviously, they threw him back out there for the last day of practice in the week, and then they called him doubtful, and then the next morning they said, you're not getting on the plane. And so, they're always playing these games on what the status is and what the opponent has to prepare for. I'm not sure about Akeem. I don't have a feel one way or the other on that one. Certainly not a promising sign that he hasn't done much the last 2 weeks, and you're going to have to figure out a way to get him at a spot where, there's a long way to go left in the season, right? You still got a dozen games left, and so you don't want to send Akeem Hicks out there and then risk him re-aggravating that and then have him be gone for the rest of the year. So we'll kind of just monitor that one the next couple of days and through Sunday evening.
If Khalil Herbert isn't getting the ball, who are they giving it to in the running game? And on top of that, Dan, is there a chance that maybe we'll see more of Justin Fields carrying the football in this game?
Well, a couple answers to that question. Number one, you've got Artavis Pierce on the practice squad. You've got Ryan Nall. You've got guys that you can bump up, in the next man up mentality and try to get in the mix if you need to. Obviously, it's less than ideal having both Montgomery and Damian Williams out. Justin Fields has an opportunity to help you in the running game. The question that I have, and I feel pretty good about this, but it's certainly worth keeping an eye on as we go forward, is how many of these big hits does Justin Fields have to take before he becomes a little more cautious as a runner? And that's the last thing you want, because he's got a gift as a runner that can make you much more explosive as an offense, make defenses account for a lot of different things. And you guys remember – that Mitch Trubisky was far more effective as a running quarterback before he suffered that first injury and that late hit by Harrison Smith in 2018 that caused him to miss a couple starts. The next year he gets pulled down, misses a couple more games when he's outside the pocket trying to make a play, and then was suddenly ineffective as a runner for the rest of his time as a Bear. I did the research. He had 8 games of 40-plus rushing yards before that first hit from Harrison Smith in 2018, only 2 games of 40-plus after that. And so I'm not saying Justin's the same type of player as Mitch. I'm just saying that sometimes when a quarterback takes some major shots and starts to have that in the back of his head, it makes you a little more hesitant to expose yourself to those types of things. That's going to be interesting to watch with Justin over the next month or two to see whether some of the shots that he took Sunday in Las Vegas have any sort of lasting effect.
Let's build on that. I mean, you know how it's going to be, Dan. We like where the Bears have come from. We like that they're not where they were in Cleveland. We like that the play calling now is protecting Justin Fields. Is there a happy medium that they will have to achieve here in order to outscore teams that have Aaron Rodgers this week and Tom Brady next week, where you just can't play the Kyle Orton playbook?
Yeah, no, 1,000% on that question. I asked Bill Lazor that question this week because, look, I think it's the last 2 games, I think they've led for something like 93 minutes of game time and they've trailed for like 523 or something like that. So they've had the luxury of playing from ahead for most of the last 2 games. That allows you to stick with the run as long as you want to stick with the run because you're not playing in a chase game. Well, now you're playing 2 of the all-time greats at the position of quarterback, and you're going to have to keep up at some point in these next 2 weeks with Rodgers and Brady. And so that demands, as an offense, that you become a little more versatile, demands that you throw for more than 210 yards on occasion, right? It demands that you don't enter week 7, 8, 9 with more rushing yards on the season than you have passing yards in 2021. So they understand there's going to be challenges here to unlocking a reliable passing game. It's obviously not a plus for Robinson to be hurt this week with that mission, but they're going to have to be able to find ways to keep up with these opposing offenses, and you're going to have to do it through the air.
And then a question that they did the other day, it was I think a couple of games ago, that Nagy said, look, we're going against the analytics and we're going to take the football when we win the toss. I've always been, like, and I know what the analytics say, especially when you're playing across Aaron Rodgers. I don't love giving them the football and then you're chasing immediately and Aaron Rodgers goes down the field and goes up 3-0 or 7-0 and now you're in chase mode right away. If they were to win the toss, would you accept the football to start the game and not defer like most teams do?
I don't know. That's a tough one because I do think you want to try to squeeze an extra possession if you can, right? When you're playing a team like the Packers, you want to have as many opportunities as you can to score. I know the philosophy that you're suggesting here, and certainly with the way the Bears have run the football the last 2 weeks, that's some of the best defense you can play on Aaron Rodgers, is to put together a 12, 13, 14 play drive, keep him on the sideline and say, you're not going to hurt us while we're handing the ball off and getting 4, 6, 7, 5, you know, and taking the ball down the field on the ground. And so they're going to have to figure out what the complementary football looks like for this weekend. But I do think you probably want to have as many possessions as you can to try and score against this team. They're going to have to find a way because this is not an easy overall matchup just because of the presence of Rodgers and obviously his favorite target, Devontae Adams.
Just don't give away a timeout on an extra point this week. That will help, too, with the extra possession.
Right, manage games a little bit better. That's all going to be a requirement because the level of competition you're facing the next 2 Sundays is not going to create a large margin for error.
Dan, we talked about this a little bit earlier, actually at the start of the show. You have a nice strength-on-strength battle with the Packers' offense versus the Bears' defense, and then you have another battle between the weaknesses, the Bears' offense and the Packers' defense. Which battle do you think will have a greater impact on the outcome of this game, or which one do you think is the most important?
Yeah, I think it's Rodgers against the Bears defense, just because it's Rodgers, right? And I think the Bears defense is playing at a level where they're going to keep them around in this game, right? This isn't going to be one of those. I've seen too many games that I've covered between Bears and Packers where the Packers put up 27 in the first half, 42 in the first half. These are things that have actually happened. I'm not just pulling numbers out of the air, right? Like, he can put a handful of points on you early. This defense is built right now to not let that happen. They are creating pressure consistently without sending a ton of extra rushers. Sean Desai is doing a terrific job creating rush plans that are opponent-specific each week and turning loose some matchups that allow you to get home. And so if they can disrupt Rodgers early and make some things uncomfortable for him, now all of a sudden you can keep yourself in a game into the third, into the fourth, and now you're just looking for that bounce, right? That key takeaway, that key moment in the game that allows you to pull off an upset. The other part of this is you're going to have to figure out how to cover Davante Adams. I mentioned it earlier. A lot of teams are throwing double teams at him. They're trying everything they can to take him out of the game plan for the Packers, and yet he still leads the NFL in receptions and receiving yards. He's got more receptions and receiving yards than the entire Bears receiving corps combined. And so that is no easy task to slow down a guy who is in a contract year playing at an absolutely massive level, and I think since 2016 has 60 touchdowns, guys.
Oof. And so while we're on the subject of defense, and Robert Quinn looks like the player that they wanted all along this year, just got here a year late. Ian Rappaport tweeted this out earlier in the day. The Bears restructured the contract, pass rusher Robert Quinn, source said, to create $3.5 million in cap room. Previously, they had only $800,000 of room and simply needed more to operate. Chicago, and this is the key, Chicago now has moved almost $31 million into future caps.
Is
that's bad cap management, yes?
Well, I mean, it's just a struggle right now. We've talked about it forever, being in football hell and trying to, you know, dig yourself out of it. And obviously, we've talked before about how the shrinking of the salary cap because of the pandemic created some unforeseen circumstances that the Bears weren't planning for when they signed some of these guys to longer-term contracts. And now you're playing a game of, moving things around. And it's not going to help you up the road. But right now, in the immediate time, you see all these injuries they have, and you have to go out and create some roster depth with some of this, and so these are just a necessary evil, but it's less than ideal to be in this situation for certain.
Would you feel better about the Bears in this season if they win this game? Do you, or at least
yes,
feel differently?
Yes, 100%. It's a season-changing type of game on Sunday against a very legitimate opponent that gives you a chance to, you know, figure out where you measure up. We've talked about it forever. This Bears team has been so mediocre over the last 2.5 years of taking care of business against mediocre to lesser opponents and always being exposed as a nobody against the true championship contenders. And so this is a true championship contender, this Packers team. You've got a chance on your home turf to get yourself in a football game here and have a matchup. And if you can win this and you're 4-2, you know, going to Tampa next week, absolutely it changes the outlook for the season as a whole to, you know, not to a large extent, but it certainly changes it. My question, guys, and I'd be curious to get your feedback on this, is do the Bears have enough energy left for a game like this weekend? If you think about the 15 days that they had from Cleveland, you know, earlier in the month to leaving Las Vegas last Sunday, and all of the things they went through and all of the emotional fuel that they had to spend to reinvent themselves on offense, to make a quarterback change, to, you know, dig deep, to clout, to win. Do they have enough to recharge, hit that reset button, and come back out at a level on Sunday that's required to beat a team as good as the Packers?
I don't think it'll come down to energy because it's so early in the season. So I would think that, you know, energy, I think it comes down to whether or not you got the horses and whether or not you create the opportunities that are going to be necessary for you to get past a more talented opponent. So I don't think so much energy. Like I said, I think that these guys, you know, there's still a lot left in the tank.
Yeah, I'm not saying physical as much as I'm saying sort of that emotional drain that comes with what they've been through the last 15 days. And it's just sort of a human nature to come back from Vegas and go, man, that's a really satisfying stretch. But, boy, that took a lot to get to that satisfying stretch. And so now can we kind of hit that recharge button and you know, not have the battery low notification popping up?
Nope. I would say if you were facing the Lions, you'd be more likely for a letdown.
Yeah,
but
this
you
is
know,
Bears,
this,
Packers.
Yeah.
And I mean, Dan, the wind's at their back now a little bit. You know what I mean? They got up from being knocked down and knocked down hard. So I would hope so. If they aren't emotionally ready, I would be very, very disappointed.
I think they'll be flying around.
Flying around. Oh, jeez.
They'll be flying around.
Best coach ever.
And by the way, Dan, you realize, win on Sunday, everyone in the building gets a 3-year contract extension on
three.
Monday.
Ten.
You know, I'm just telling you because you remember Georgia and Virginia were not happy about how this team has performed against the Packers. You beat the Packers, everybody's getting fresh paper.
They don't beat the Packers very often, and so you know what that means inside that building, and particularly to do it at home with a crowd that's going to be juiced up for this game on Sunday. It'll be very interesting to see where it goes. I know you guys have probably talked about this throughout the week, but the Packers defensively, you know, they're not imposing at all. They haven't been strong against the run. They've been absolutely wretched inside the red zone. They haven't made a red zone stop all season. And so if you can start to establish that running game and set a tone with your offensive line and get Khalil Herbert some touches that get the ball moving down the field, now all of a sudden you get that belief factor to rise on the sideline and you can take advantage of a Packers defense that's not great. And again, the easiest way to slow down Aaron Rodgers is to keep him off the field.
Yep. Good stuff, Dan. We appreciate it. Have a good game on Sunday.
All right, fellas, enjoy the weekend.
I know he's not playing. He's still covering the game.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
All right, let's react more to that. If you want to get in, how do you feel about this? Waddle said earlier in the show that he didn't feel hopeless. That's a step. I mean, it seems like you're always playing from behind against the Packers. You know from the beginning that they're an underdog. I'm waiting for the day where every year they're equals and they're fighting for the division, and it's not a surprise the year the Bears do win the division. It's not just all of a sudden this 1 year of a surprise and then a couple of years of mediocrity. I want them to build the level with Justin Fields here to where they're good, and can they take a step offensively and go toe-to-toe a bit here with Aaron Rodgers? 332-3776. A lot of news today. All the way around, there was a trade in the NFL as well. There was some Cubs news today with what their owner had to say. So if you want to weigh in on all of that, 332-3776. We're live at Binney's Beverage Depot. It's brought to you by Miller Lite.
This is a Miller Lite Waddle and Sylvie broadcast, live from Binney's Beverage Depot in Lincoln Park. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000,
100.3 HD2,
and the ESPN Chicago app.
You got 10 minutes to get here before we draw these Bears-Packers tickets. Thank you to Miller Lite. Thank you to all our great fans and Connie's Frozen Pizza, Bernie's Book Bank for showing up today. It's been great, and the weather really did cooperate. I mean, it was raining right before the broadcast. It's gotten a little warmer. The sun is out now. You see some blue sky.
It's a good sign.
And it's just a beautiful fall October evening right now.
Just had a piece of pepperoni. Fantastic.
Yeah, I have a pepperoni in front of me as well. Jeez. Like they said, over under 5.5 pieces. Come on.
I've had
pieces in the first hour of the broadcast from Connie's Frozen Pizza.
I've had three. I've kind of paced myself. I've had three.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
I don't like to be a gluttonous pig. So I had three slices, and all three have been delicious.
We got a guy drinking a beer with his dog here. The dog is not drinking the beer.
No.
Trey Toons, who everyone knows in Twitch, is here. He's got a Miller Lite.
He's drinking beer.
He's got a case of Miller Lite, yep. Got a guy in a Braves jersey, excited for Atlanta Braves playoff baseball. Got an Aaron Rodgers jersey. People are now starting to find out, too, that the Packers are wearing their home green uniforms at Soldier Field, and people are mad at the Bears for this. I'm not that.
Who cares?
I really don't care. I'm not a uniform junkie like Gene Greco is, like some other people are. Like the Bulls made an announcement this year after years of going with what I knew as the road reds at home. They've since flipped it. The Bulls back in the day would wear their home white uniforms, and now they're back to the home whites this year. So they're going, like, it doesn't bother me. I want the Bears to play good football.
Honestly, I don't even pay attention to what color the jerseys are. But I know that there are jerseys.
So the Bears are wearing the throwback jerseys. The throwback jerseys are white.
Mm-hmm.
So because they're white, the Packers are wearing the home green jerseys. They have never in the history of Soldier Field wore the green jerseys in Chicago. The last time they wore the green jerseys in Chicago is during a game against the Bears at Wrigley.
Okay.
So.
Meaningless to me.
Look, I'm good with mixing up the mojo. Mojo hasn't been good with the Bears at home or on the road.
I don't care what color you're wearing. Just find a way to beat them, for crying out loud.
Yes, yes. And Dan did surprise me. Like, Dan and I'm not saying he's wrong. He just surprised me. Like, the last thing on my list for this weekend, like the Raiders. The Raiders are a team who could be emotionally checked out in Denver this week, right?
Yes, very good points.
Or like a team, like who did San Diego beat in that shootout last week?
The Chargers beat the Browns.
The Browns. It was like 45-42?
Yes.
Something like that. Like 45-42, and then they have to fly across country and face a really good Ravens team. Like, maybe they have a letdown, and that's still a big game, but, you know, playing at 10 a.m., whatever. I don't like to be at home with a full stadium against your rival. I don't think the Bears have been through a lot in the last
year. Yeah, I don't either.
Like, yes, getting off the mat against Cleveland was something that was tough, but they did. They did it against Detroit. You faced Detroit and you faced a Raiders team that had a lot of issues. I don't think getting emotionally ready or being emotionally spent in this spot, that surprised me. I just did not think that's an issue.
I don't think they'll be physically exhausted. I don't think they'll be emotionally taxed. I think the actual opposite. I'm with you. I think this is a team that started to feel better about themselves after the last couple of weeks. It's early in the season, and they understand the rivalry. They understand how important it is. And again, I know that it's very early, but the winner of this game is in first place in the division, right?
Right.
Like, so I'm with you. I don't think that this is a spot where I would ever anticipate a letdown. If they get their doors blown off, it's because that Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are a better football team than them.
Yes.
So,
right. And they have a bad plan, and they didn't get to the quarterback defensively, or they didn't block for Justin Fields, or they couldn't establish a running game without their two top running backs out of the game. I know this is weird and a random thing that I brought up to Dan, but if you win the toss, do you take the football? Like, I know what you do analytically. If you don't, you look to double dip. That's why I think 75% or 80% of teams defer now. And then that way you hope for that one possession at the end of the first, and then you double dip with the opening kickoff of the third quarter.
Well,
but I don't like the Bears playing from behind against Aaron Rodgers to begin with, and I don't like giving him the ball to start a game.
I get that. But again, I mean, look, this is how I feel about analytics in general. I'm not married to them. I use them as a tool in the toolbox. But I think you use the analytics here, and you also you ride the backs of the strength of your team, which is your defense. So, like, if you win the toss, yeah, I kick off.
Though it's Aaron?
Yeah.
Because the reason, too, I bring it up, because remember Nagy admitted he did this against Detroit.
Yeah.
Against the Cleveland game, they didn't want to be playing from behind to start. They wanted to give the ball to the kid coming off that game, get him right back on the horse. And what'd the Bears do? They went right down the field and they scored a touchdown. And they sort of set the tempo for the game. And
You can also set the tempo for the game
defensively, but it is Aaron Rodgers.
With a big sack.
It's not Jared Goff.
No, it's not.
Aaron Rodgers isn't going to give you the football like the Lions gave you the football.
What do you trust more, their defense or their offense?
Their defense versus Aaron Rodgers or their offense. Still their defense.
So that's, and again, when you factor in analytics as well, I would still, look, at the end of the day, again, I think the outcome will be determined by other things, but I would use the analytics here and ride my defense. If my defense was really shaky, maybe I'd think about doing it the other way around. But think about it. Maybe you get a three and out, and you flip the field position, and you give the ball to Justin Fields in that running game at the 50-yard line, and at the very least, all you have to do is go 15, 20 yards, and you're in field goal range.
Yeah,
so
just food for thought.
Yeah, no, I get it. Listen, I'm not. We had this conversation on our Unhinged podcast with Carmen the Good Kid. Like, I don't think you should ignore analytics, but I don't also believe that you have to stay married to them. I think that, like, go back to last year. Who was the pitcher for the Rays that was rolling, and they decided to take him out after five innings because I don't think they wanted
him
to see.
He's in San Diego now.
Blake Snell.
So, I mean, like, don't you remember how we were all like, what the hell are you doing?
Right. And, so, like, last night, again, and I'm with you on analytics. Like, one of my least favorite things that analytics has done, there are two things. One, it's the starting pitcher.
Yeah.
I hate it. Because I believe that the Giants looked at their pitcher yesterday. They saw what he did the first time against the Dodgers. They saw the way he was pitching yesterday. And the analytics tell you so much about second or third time through the order, but the guy in that moment, it doesn't measure the guy in that moment.
Exactly.
And when the guy in the moment is on a heater and he's pitching differently than maybe he's pitched before, I always want to err on the side of keep giving that guy the ball. I don't want to simply make a change because the numbers tell me to make a change.
Exactly.
I still believe in the human element of a game. I believe even if the analytics say stay with a guy and you just can tell he's losing it,
yes,
and then maybe you go get him.
Well, that's using a combination, right, of analytics and, you know, just common baseball sense.
And I'm not saying this is wrong because it's the right thing to do analytically. Right. I hate in the NBA how it's just become the three outcome, a three-pointer, no mid-range game, layups.
Yeah.
Three-pointer, layup, no mid-range. Like, it's boring to me. I love the NBA. Love it. And I think the modern NBA player is way better than the player 20 years ago. They have evolved. It is incredible, the skills they have. I hate
you have two.
That there is no in-between game anymore in basketball because they tell you three, 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 three.
You have two guys on the Bulls roster currently, don't you, that fit into that mid-range game. One's DeMar DeRozan because he doesn't take threes, and Patrick Williams is probably going to be one of those guys too.
By the way, good news on Patrick Williams. I'll give you that coming up. I also want to give you the other news of the day, too. The Cubs are saying they are in it to win it. Is this possible? They came out today. I'll deliver all that. And if you want to talk Bears, 312-332-3776. We're live at Binney's Beverage Depot. It's all brought to you by Miller Lite.
Live from Binney's Beverage Depot in Lincoln Park.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
All right, if you want to weigh in and talk some football with us, talk some Bears, 312-332-3776. We're also going to go around the league. Live at Binney's Beverage Depot in Lincoln Park, brought to you by Miller Lite. We just gave out our second pair of Bears tickets. We still are going to give away that Miller Lite treasure chest. It's a cooler that Waddle calls a treasure chest.
Because it's holding treasure.
And you do need to be present to win that. We'll give away that at 6 o'clock. So if you're in the neighborhood, we're on Marcy Street, just off of North Avenue, behind the Best Buy. And Monday, we got more Miller time for you. As Waddle says, every day is Miller time.
Every day.
But a special Miller Time broadcast Monday, 2 to 6, will be at Finley Dunn's. Finley Dunn's in Lakeview. So come
celebrating a Bears victory.
It's 3458 North Lincoln Avenue. So come on out. It's all brought to you by Miller Lite.
The traffic in and out of this building is phenomenal.
Well, yeah, it's Friday. Everyone's picking up their Miller Lite.
Yeah.
So Tom Rickett sent out a two-page letter today.
Can you think you can read it all the way through without making a mistake?
I'm not
again?
Reading
Come
it
on,
again.
You can do
I am going to give the people the juicy stuff. I am not reading that we have football to discuss.
Sell me on Schwindy City Miracle.
Oh, and really quick, too. Patrick Williams is playing tonight in the Bulls' last preseason game.
Yeah.
Remember, they didn't know if he was even going to make it for the opener healthy, and now he's playing tonight. He's going to play like 20 to 25 minutes against the Grizzlies.
With or without a brace? No brace?
I don't know. I don't know that, but I did see he's ready to play. This is their last preseason game.
Yeah.
I think it's Wednesday they open.
Let's do this.
I cannot wait.
I still can't believe that some players, regardless of sport, don't tape their ankle.
Yeah. Basketball fever in this town with the Sky playing game 3 tonight of the championship series. It's 1-1 there. Wintrust will be sold out tonight and Sunday. So it's a busy, busy weekend. The Hawks are playing again tonight. This is a great time when you have baseball playoffs going on.
I love baseball
playoffs. You got football. October is my favorite month on the calendar
for sports.
For sports.
Yeah.
Because you got baseball, October, you can't beat it.
Basketball starting.
Basketball, hockey are new. Football, you're starting to know who's good, who's not good.
By the way, I just made a $10 bet on Patrick Kane to get his first goal of the season.
Oh, good.
Plus 200.
Okay.
That's good value
you
for Kaner to put the biscuit in the basket tonight in New Jersey.
All right. I'll ride with you on that.
Yeah,
put
I think
a
you should.
On that. Let's do
little
that
bonus,
together.
Little bonus play.
So this is the juicy part from the letter. There was a lot of stuff about, hey, it was a roller coaster ride. We love you, the fans. Thank you for being with us, even despite us trading everyone away. We were in first place early in the season, and then like after a certain date in August, we were pretty good with our OPS, and Schwindel was good.
Patrick Wisdom hit more home runs than any rookie in the history of the franchise.
Right, so he sold you on a lot of the ups and downs, and it was good to be together again after the pandemic, and Wrigley Field full for some of the games.
Was there a part in there where he said Kyle Hendricks couldn't get a 10-year-old out?
No. And Weave, who used to be on our sales staff, he's a season ticket holder, and he did say that the money for season ticket holders are due. The invoice is due in November, and I think all the money has to be in. Like a certain percentage has to be in November, and it all has to be paid.
So what you're saying is it's not a surprise that Tom Ricketts is coming out and telling you that they're going to spend this year.
Yes, yes. Gotcha. So, and then here, let me give you the juicy part of this. It says, Jed and the team are now focused on reloading our roster. We have the resources necessary to compete in 2022 and beyond, and we will use them. We will be active in free agency and continue to make thoughtful decisions to bolster our team this offseason. While highs and lows are a part of our game and nothing novel for unwavering Cubs fans, I know 2021 was a lot to process. Further, while making good long-term decisions with our roster looking good on paper, it doesn't soften the pain of losing or the emptiness of missing the postseason. With our attention now solely on 2022, please know this. We respect your high expectations, we share your desire to win, and we commit to fielding a competitive team reflective to your unrivaled support. I thought that was the juicy stuff. Of course, the line to take out of there is, we have the resources necessary to compete in 2022 and beyond.
Well, they will participate in free agency, but at what level?
Well, it says they have the resources and they will use them. But again, he tells you we're going to make smart decisions by saying, well, we will be active in free agency and continue to make, quote, thoughtful decisions to bolster our team this offseason.
This is where I would give you a thoughtful decision. I get it. Okay. How old is Max Scherzer?
37, okay. 38.
If you don't give Max Scherzer a three-year, $100 million contract is what he's looking for, I get it because I don't think you're – But if you tell me you're not in the market for Carlos Correa, then
right,
what
or any of the shortstops,
right?
Any of the shortstops,
right? That are good, you know, that could be cornerstones for you for the next 5 or 6
years. Supply and demand, dude. There's so many shortstops available this offseason.
Now,
can I add this? Scherzer is a guy the Sox should be all in on.
No doubt,
all in. It's perfect for Reinsdorf because he doesn't have to give him a 5-year deal.
Yes.
You overpay for 2 or 3 years of him still being great, and you need an ace in that rotation followed by Giolito and Lynn. You don't put the pressure on Kopech to be the ace right away. He could be your 4 or 5 and then cease.
Make him say no to you. Look, he may decide he wants to be with the Dodgers.
And it's a short-term, high-money deal.
Absolutely. Be in on it. Now, again, Scherzer may decide he wants to be with where
in LA,
he is.
Right.
But make him say no to your very lucrative offer.
Ken in Prospect Heights wants to talk about the Bears. Then we'll go around the league. Hey, Ken, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hi, guys. Not cutting or no due diligence to you, Sylvie, but Tom, I'm such a fan of yours and what you did for the team, and I'm surprised you're able to get up and walk in the morning with everything went through while you were on the Bears. So along that note,
he'll never forget that 46-10 win in New Orleans back in 1986.
Never will. Never will.
I'm very concerned about the length of career Justin Fields is going to have with this team. This guy, I don't know what he's thinking when he's going home after a game, but he's got to be thinking, for crying out loud, can anyone block for me? I mean, what is the problem? I'm just an average fan. I don't know the X and O's of football. I hear some experts saying, why aren't they lining a tight end up to help block on the blind side of a play or whatever else? But my call is for, I am very concerned about a very talented young man that we have here and his safety and health, number one, and number two, the length of his career. If this continues, this guy's going to be out in 3 years in a wheelchair. Well, it's just really
don't do this to me, Ken. Don't do this.
Ken, first of all, thanks for the kind words. Second of all, Sylvia's being a jackass. I did not play on the Super Bowl team. And thirdly, look, I think that they have made some strides with regards to trying to protect him. And look, they only dropped back. How many throws did he have last week? 17? Like, they're running it twice as much as they're throwing it. I think knowing that they have some issues up front, not only are they trying to secure the pocket with more guys, but they're also running the football with, you know, twice as often as they're actually throwing it. So at the end of the day, you know, he's a tough kid. He's a big kid. He's an athletic kid. He's going to take some shots the same way that
we better gear up.
Same way that Trevor Lawrence has taken shots and Zach Wilson has taken shots. Joe Burrow has taken shots. You know, I thought that the Bengals were, I thought they were foolish for what they did last year in terms of exposing him to 40, 50 dropbacks a game. There's a happy medium, especially when you have issues on their offensive line. The Bengals' offensive line last year was awful, and yet they were still sitting him in the pocket back there with no extra protection for 45 times a game. Like, they're not doing that with him, with Justin Fields, nor should they. Now, there needs to be a happy medium, but right now I would tell you don't lose any sleep over his health. He'll be okay.
Load up your calls, 312-332-3776. Don't forget, it's Friday, and when Abdallah's on, all calls welcome. So load them up right now. If you don't talk to us, you can talk to Abdallah coming up next. And I want to go around the league. Continue to take your phone calls. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
Live
from Binney's Beverage Depot in Lincoln Park.
On the ESPN Chicago app. On the FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000.
Let the Miller Lite flow.
Yeah, and usports.com.
Oh, is it?
Everybody knows. Yeah. Everybody knows.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, everybody knows. All right, we're wrapping up here at Binney's Beverage Depot. Still a great crowd on hand.
Yes.
And we appreciate Binney's, again, under different circumstances, rolling out the red carpet for our fans. Connie's Frozen Pizza for coming out. Bernie's Book Bank for coming out and grabbing our books and donating them and doing what they do best.
Had a game
Miller
of catch
Lite
several times with some of the fine people out here.
Right.
My arm's going to have to be iced down when I get back.
Got hit in the head by Travis by an errant pass.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like a Cade McNown throw.
The look on your face was priceless.
Because I thought
thought I threw it at you.
I did the peanut punch on you as you were holding the football.
Said peanut, right?
Yeah, you weren't looking. I came in and I punched the ball out.
Yeah, peanut.
And I thought you, because you have a good arm, I thought you whipped the ball at my head. I'm like, why would he do that?
That would be such a Richard move.
It was.
Like, Travis didn't do it on purpose.
No, I know that.
He just got a horrible arm with no accuracy.
Terrible arm.
But to think that I would just, because you gave me the peanut, I said, peanut punch, that I'd take the football and hit you in the head with it.
Yeah.
This isn't Jackass.
I know.
I mean, I wouldn't do that to you.
All right, let's go around.
I'd at least wait till you were looking the other way and hit you with it.
Go around the league here. What do you want to
do you know what?
Isn't this the first week that there are byes, right? So we don't have as big of a slate.
That is true, but we have another London game. We have an early morning game.
Yeah, you call it a game.
And it's a game. Yeah, it's a game. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to give you a little.
It's made for London.
And that's right. It's Jags and Dolphins.
Yes.
And Tua's back. And there's two issues. First of all, I think this is the week that the Jags get their first win.
I rode your thought process with that. I was not knowing what I should do in this game. The Jags are a 3-point dog, I believe.
Yes, at some point they're going to win a game, aren't they? I don't think they're going to be like the Lions and go winless. Tua's back.
Right.
And this is like at some point Tua runs out of time, doesn't he? I know he's still young. But at some point, he either has to prove that he is their long-term quarterback or they're going to have to look for somebody else.
Yeah, they need
to. And I would think that would start now. The game of the week outside of the Bears and the Packers for me is the Chargers and the Ravens game.
Same time as the Bears game.
Yes, I know. It's a 12 o'clock kickoff, which isn't great. But, like, I would ask you who you got in this game. You got Herbert or you have Lamar?
I have the Ravens. They're at home. It's a really – what is it, 2.5 right now, I believe?
Yes, it is a 2.5-point game.
I like It's a tough one, though. I could see it going either way. You know, the Chargers have been winning these big games, the ones that they've been losing.
But it is such a great, such a great matchup of young quarterbacks. And again, Lamar Jackson has been in the league for, I think, 4 or 5 years now, but he's still young.
The playoffs are going to be great because in previous years we're like, oh, the Chiefs are significantly better than everyone. But when you have the Bills and you have the Ravens and you have the Chargers and you still have the Chiefs, I'm not done with the Chiefs yet. Like, a lot of people are dismissing them. It's very, very early. We've seen other teams, you know, we've seen the Packers rebound many years with Aaron Rodgers.
The Los Angeles Chargers give up 158 rushing yards per game. If you're a Chargers fan, doesn't that scare the crap out of you, knowing that Lamar can tuck and go at any point?
That's their game.
And the Chargers can throw the football on anybody. And the Ravens' defense has just been decimated by injuries. That's why I look at this as a high-scoring game. And I get it. It's a 12 o'clock kick central time for us. For the Chargers, they're kicking off at what would be 10 o'clock at their body clocks.
Right, right.
But Carmen says that's
not even in consideration.
And I'm
anymore.
With you. Chiefs are at the Washington football team. You realize the Chiefs are 2-3?
I do.
But I'm with you. I know the Chiefs are 6.5-point underdogs, but at one point, they're going to find it, and it's all going to come together because there's too much talent there. Defensively, they're still a liability, but you look at Washington, and you have to question how much they can score.
It's not been good for Ron Rivera so far.
It has not. It has not. The other game, obviously, is the Cardinals and the Browns, and this one is...
That's a great game, too.
It's fantastic. The Browns, top rushing attack in the league. They average 188 rushing yards per game. The Cardinals' defense, we talk about the Cardinals' offense because of Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins and some of the other fantastic players they have, but the defense has shown up at times. They held Derrick Henry to just 58 yards rushing earlier in the year.
By the way, the Cardinals acquired Zach Ertz today.
Yes.
He cannot obviously play. You can't double dip this week. He played last night with Philly, but they have now a tight end for him to go forward.
Is there a rule that says.
Because wasn't there a player who played for two different teams in the playoffs last year, and then they made a rule like once you're a limit, like from the playoffs, you can't play for
That's
another
crazy.
Team. So, yes, Shefty tweeted out earlier today that he is not eligible to play for the Cardinals on Sunday.
And the other game I thought was really interesting was the Cowboys that sit at 4-1. They're at the Patriots. Trevon Diggs has had an interception in each of his first 5 games.
Yep.
Will he make it 6 in a row? This is a really good matchup.
I can't figure out, though, the Patriots. You know, 2 weeks ago, I thought they had no chance against Brady, and they did have a chance. Last week, I'm like, they're going to get right, and they're going to blow out Houston, and they didn't. That was down to the wire, wasn't it?
It was.
Had to eke out.
Yes.
So I don't, looking at it, the Cowboys have been really good, and they've established themselves as a contender. Like Abdallah the other day, they were doing their their five up, five down, and Abdallah had them ranked third in the league. I think that's a little high. Maybe they're a top five team, top six, but
I think the reason why you can make a really good case for them being where Adam placed them is their defense has been really good,
right,
which is crazy. And obviously, before we get out of here, Bears and Packers, I think this is a game the Bears can win. I think you're catching the Packers at the right time. I think the Packers will be a significantly different team 6, 7, 8 weeks from now.
24-23 Bears.
I got the Packers winning 23-20.
Go home.
I am going to go home.
I know you will.
So
that's why I said it.
Yeah.
What was your score again?
23-20 Packers.
Okay, we're in the same ballpark. I've got them with 24.
Yeah.
So we both have the Packers with 23. I just have the Bears scoring 4 extra points.
I hope you're correct.
I hope I'm correct, too.
And Justin Fields with a breakout game, you said.
Yes. I mean, my breakout game is he will throw 250 yards, maybe a little bit more. And they will be asked to push the ball down the field because they will have to out of necessity.
That will be, by definition, a breakout game for him because he had just over 200 yards passing against the Lions, which is his, obviously, in his short period of time, his career high. So it would be a breakout.
Don't forget, we're at Finley Dunn's again with Miller Lite on Monday. Monday, 2 to 6, Finley Dunn's on Lincoln in Lakeview. We've got Bleck and Abdallah coming up in 2 short minutes, then game one of the ALCS. Thank you to Jay Cutler, Carmen DeFalco, Dan Weider, J.R. Strauss. Great work. Travis Wacker and the entire marketing team. Thank you to Miller Lite. Thank you to all of our fans.
Connie's
Thank
pizza.
You to Connie's Frozen Pizza. Bernie's Book Bank. Bleck and Abdallah up in 2 short minutes. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great weekend, and go Bears!
Go Bears!
It's the classic!
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all a good night.